Our meditation this morning is from this book, Just One Thing, Developing the Buddha Brain, One Simple Practice at a Time, by Rick Hansen. He is a neuropsychologist at the University of California, Berkeley. And my family really likes his meditations and his readings. This book has 52 little practices you can do throughout the year, and his specialty is neuroplasticity, how you can change your brain by changing your thoughts. Okay, this is about being good to yourself, specifically forgiving yourself. He says, okay, here we go. I'm condensing here. Start by getting in touch with the feeling of being cared about by someone in your life today or someone from your past. Staying with feeling cared about, bring to mind some of your many good qualities. This step and the one above it will help you face whatever needs forgiving and actually forgive yourself. If you yelled at a child, lied at work, partied too hard, let a friend down, cheated on a partner, or were secretly glad about someone's downfall, whatever it was, acknowledge the facts. What happened, what was in your mind at the time, the relevant context and history, and the results for yourself and others. Notice any facts that are hard to face, like the look in a child's eyes when you yelled at her, and be especially open to them. They're the ones that are keeping you stuck. It is always the truth that sets us free. Okay, now here's the crux. This is why I brought this today. Sort what happened into three piles: moral faults, unskillfulness, and everything else. So I'll tell you some of my flaws and failings are procrastinating, being messy, eating junk food, failing to exercise even though I told myself over and over and over I'm going to exercise, things like that. None of these, not one of these, is a moral failing. He says moral faults deserve proportionate guilt, not excessive, proportionate remorse or shame, but unskillfulness, procrastinating, eating junk food, being a human, unskillfulness calls for correction, no more. This is very important. So we can try to change, but we have no need to feel guilty about these things we've done that are not moral failings. This morning's reading is from Elizabeth Gilbert. She's the author of Eat, Pray, Love. This is from an essay. We live in a hard world, my friends. Sometimes it's extra difficult to be a human being. Sometimes you have a bad day. Sometimes you have a bad day that lasts for several years. You struggle and fail. You lose jobs, money, friends, faith, and love. You witness horrible events unfolding in the news, and you become fearful and withdrawn. There are times when everything seems cloaked in darkness. You long for the light but don't know where to find it. But what if you are the light? What if you're the very agent of illumination that a dark situation begs for? One of the most interesting developments in popular psychology in recent years has, for me, been the understanding of how we construct the narratives of our lives. Every life has a narrative, the story of what happened to you and why your life is the way it is. These form a huge part of how we feel about ourselves. These stories run like underground rivers below the surface of our daily lives. But a story is not factual, even if it's based on a series of facts. A story is an interpretation. Many of you know that my family lives on a farm that's been in my husband's family for a number of generations. Around 1840, his great-grandfather, Nelson Wolliver, decided to alter the course of a river on the property to improve the grazing land for his cattle. Over the course of several weeks, he shoveled out a new bed for the river. He altered its course. If you're interested in looking more attentively at how you form the story of your life, I can recommend you do some reading on the topic of narrative psychology. Researchers like Tim Wilson are doing fascinating work in this area. Another interested related topic concerns resilience, where researchers like Angela Duckworth are compiling intriguing guidance on how we can go forward. I'm going to list three research-based methods that have helped people expand and alter their narratives, and then we'll spend some time writing privately. Please choose one or more of these three techniques to use while you're writing this morning. First, focus on redemption rather than contamination. Contamination is the word researchers in this field use to describe the sense we have that one bad event, one bad thing that happened, spread and spread and spread and affected a great expanse of our lives. When she was about 8, my grandmother burned her family's house down. Her mother had been in the hospital, and my grandmother wanted everything to be nice for her mother's return home. She was ironing a tablecloth, and she left the iron plugged in, and the house burned. It is not exaggerating to say that this event ruined my grandmother's life. A narrative like this, neuropsychologists find, tends to be very sticky in our brains, very hard to change. But changing it is possible. My grandmother was 8 years old. She was a young girl trying so hard to do a good thing, and her family survived. The second technique you can use is look for the lesson in the story. Those members of our congregation who were here when Fran Dearman was our minister will remember that Reverend Fran always used to say, and the moral of that story is such and such. Even the most embarrassing events have something to teach us. I cannot bear to revisit the details of this. But I will tell you that when I was in my 20s, I learned very definitively, very memorably, not to drink while taking cold medicine. It was humiliating. But we can shake ourselves off and say, well, lesson learned, I never need to make that mistake again. There is great value in this. One and done. Third, address yourself as you. Use the pronoun you rather than I in your thinking and storytelling. Researchers have found that saying to ourselves, for example, remember when you, rather than remember when I, this helps you be more objective about these parts of your history and your background. So we're going to write for 15 minutes about something painful or difficult or something we haven't spent a lot of time thinking about from the past. Use one or more of these approaches. Again, one, focus on redemption rather than contamination. Two, look for the lesson. What I learned from that was. And three, use the word you rather than I. And talking to yourself.